Homeschooling, Addressing the Naysayers and the Challenges. George Washington, Thomas Edison, Teddy Roosevelt, Agatha Christie, Alexander Graham Bell, Sandra Day O'Connor, all of the Jonas Brothers, Simone Biles, Tim Tebow, Serena and Venus Williams, actor Ryan Gosling, Christopher Paolini, the Guinness World Record holder for being the youngest author to write a best-selling book series, Abraham Lincoln, the Wright Brothers, George Patton, Charles Dickens, Benjamin Franklin, Albert Schweitzer, Winston Churchill, George Washington Carver, Albert Einstein, Amelia Earhart, Susan B. Anthony, Joseph Pulitzer, Condoleezza Rice, Jane Austen, Mark Twain, Robert Browning. What do all these people have in common? Each was either fully homeschooled during his or her elementary through high school years, or were homeschooled a portion of that time. As a homeschool mom, I must say that I take exception to some of the pundits' comments recently on the cable news stations and in interviews. Most of these people have never met a child who is being homeschooled, much less his or her parents. I understand that for many people, public or private education is the best option, but it is not the only option. My daughter was publicly educated, but I spent many hours with her multiple nights per week with home study. She now holds a doctoral degree in Middle East and European history and teaches at multiple universities. My son, whom I homeschool for kindergarten and 2nd through 12th grade, is a screenwriting and directing major at one of the top-rated film schools in the world. I say this not to brag about my children's accomplishments. I know that God has done everything for them, but to encourage parents regarding the naysayers of homeschooling. Those who are homeschooled are every bit as successful as those who are educated in public and private institutions. One of the greatest advantages of homeschooling is the ability of parents to chase their children's interests and build upon them. Of course, you must teach children traditional academics, but you have the freedom to linger on those topics that your children are passionate about. You never know where those passions might lead. Are there challenges in homeschooling? Yes. It is very hard to turn off the phone, not answer the door, deal with backed-up toilets, and more in everyday life. But because you are homeschooling, your teaching does not have to be squeezed into a 7:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. routine. So relax, go with the flow. Have the children help out with these little inconveniences. They may learn how to unclog a toilet in the process. But what can you do when your children do not want to cooperate? First of all, I believe that if you make your lessons truly fun and engaging, you likely won't have this problem. But let's say you do encounter resistance. I'd like to offer a few behavioral tips and tricks to carry you through. 1. Schedule your class day using the first this, then this approach. Identify a preferred activity and make access to that activity contingent on completing a less preferred activity. This is called the PREMAC principle, but behavior analysts also refer to it as Grandma's rule. This will mean that you will have to withhold the activities or desired items at all other times except when the children have earned them. Do this with each subject. With this approach, you can increase the demand to earn the reward over time. For example, when your little student is completing the work in one subject reliably to earn the reward, you can begin to add more content to that subject, or you can require two subjects be completed to earn the reward. Always include praise with the reward. We'll talk about this shortly. 2. Divide and conquer. In the beginning, limit the amount of time or work on each subject. For example, if your child balks at doing math worksheets, on the first day, make little Judy do one math problem for a pre-selected reward. The next day, Judy must complete 2 for the reward and so forth. Build up to a reasonable amount of work in each subject. 3. Once you have your children doing a reasonable amount of work in each subject, you may want to reduce the time it takes for them to complete each subject. You can do that by making a game of completing the assignment using an hourglass or timer. If they can beat the timer, they win a prize. 4. I mentioned token economies in a previous podcast, but they are so effective they justify review. You can determine a set amount of work that you would like your child to complete each day. Make a fun chart signifying Monday through Friday, and let your child place his or her favorite sticker on the corresponding day when that work is completed. Let your child choose a menu of rewards that can be purchased with 2 stickers, 4 stickers, 5 stickers, and so forth. 5 stickers would buy the most desired reward, and this will encourage your child to repeat the good work the following week. If your child didn't earn enough stickers to buy the most desired prize, he or she will still be able to buy a lesser reward and will be more motivated to earn 5 stickers next week. 5. Remember, you can use activities that bring in lots of different skills in order to increase your child's interest and to kill several subjects with one stone, so to speak. For example, you can design a treasure map and teach your children to use a compass to decide which direction to go to find items that you've placed in the home and in the yard. They are learning to follow step-by-step instructions and read a compass at the same time. If you get really creative, you can make each item collected a part of an item that they can put together at the end of the lesson. For example, you could have ingredients in a recipe, a bridge, a puzzle, a farm scene, a science project, and so forth. Cognitive psychologists tell us that when we are fearful, anxious, stressed, and so forth, we are unable to think logically. We are actually plunged into fight or flight mode. By making learning fun, we are avoiding such a situation and engaging our children, as well as enabling them to gain skills that they may not gain otherwise. What about socialization? This is something that I'm sure parents are concerned about as we shelter in place. But this time does not have to be devoid of social experiences. This would be a wonderful time to help your children select a pen pal. Although, in today's world, it would likely be a Skype pal or email pal. One option for finding pen pals can be found at the Students of the World website. You can find this link in my transcripts on my website at understandingchildrensbehavior.com. Children will be writing, composing sentences, spelling, and learning about another culture, as well as increasing computer skills with this simple and positive activity. Many parents are very hesitant to bring in rewards for doing what they expect their children to do just because they tell them to. I understand this. But as a behavior analyst, I also know that the praise provided with the rewards, which is a vital component, begins to build in your child a desire to do well and to please you. It also builds self-confidence and self-esteem. Slowly, over time, you can thin the schedule of tangible reinforcers in such a way that praise alone takes over as the reinforcer. However, I would caution against doing this too quickly, and you need to include a tangible reinforcer often enough to keep your children interested. If you are encountering behaviors that you are struggling to change, please email me at Harla@understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I will work to address those situations in upcoming podcasts. Of course, I can only offer suggestions for general behaviors since I am not conducting an assessment of the situation, but I hope these will be helpful. Until next time, thank you for listening. A transcript of this podcast can be obtained at my website at understandingyourchildsbehavior.com.